from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fly ball, left field. It is back. It is gone. A three-run go-ahead home run for Willie Adames. What a shot in the arm for the Brew Crew.
Willie Adames with the biggest swing of the year for him. A three-run blast to left field. Just talking about the pitch selection to walk Gary Sanchez through a slider, 3-1, walked him. The go-ahead run comes to the plate. Willie Adames capitalizes, and the Brewers have a one-run lead. This team is fired up.
The team was fired up. A ninth-inning homer to essentially help the Brewers win in Kansas City a couple nights ago. Joining us, the guy that was on that call, Jeff Levering. He is Vinny Rattino, of course, a former Milwaukee Brewer and Brewers analyst for Bally Sports Wisconsin, also PBR Wisconsin scouting director as well. Vinny, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Have you ever seen or been around anything like that, where you are talking to the opposing fans on the road during a game, talking about how you're going to win the game in your next at bat, and then go out there and do it, and then high-five those same fans on the road that are rooting for the other team on top of it? I mean, I was hearing Pat Murphy talking about this. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, me too. No, just those guys were clearly really good sports about it, right? I mean, so that's part of being that Midwest nice, though, right? From Kansas City, they're part of the Midwest, and they're having fun with Willie Adames on deck. And Willie Adames has the personality that even if you don't like the Brewers, or even if you want your Kansas City Royals to win, he's such an infectious personality that you're going to be a fan of his even if he's on the opposing team. But that was such a cool moment for the Brewers. Too bad they couldn't win the series, but you know, they really salvaged the series with that big home run by Willie.
But they did get a big return in Christian Yelich coming back yesterday, even though, you know, maybe he didn't look his best, but he's been gone for almost a month. So I'm not sure what people were quite expecting in this thing. But to have Yelich back in that three hole is a huge shot in the arm for this offense.
It really is, because without him, I mean, the team was really, they were really struggling to score runs, still 4.4 runs per game in the 23 games without Christian Yelich, but it wasn't anything like when he was in the lineup, right? The first 11 games, they were the second best offense in all of baseball, you know, scoring over 6 runs per game. Their OPS was over 800 as a team. Again, it was just a small sample in those 11 games, but just what he was able to do to be in the middle of that order and give protection to William Contreras, and then you have Willie Adames sitting behind him with Christian Yelich basically on base about 50% of the time. just a really, really important piece to the offense to have Christian Yelich here. And let's not forget what he can do with his legs. Steal bases, score from first base on a double, go first to third on a base hit to the outfield. So just obviously really important. I actually thought he hit the ball hard his first two times up with nothing to show for it. And then those last three at-bats, he didn't really have his greatest, best at-bats of the season. But he'll be back, and he looked like he was comfortable, right? He didn't look lost. At times in the last few years, we've seen Christian Yelich like, oh, man, he's not seeing the ball. He's taking some ugly swings up there. But not yesterday. I thought he looked like he was close to being locked in. Let's see if he can get locked in against the Cardinals.
Talk with Vinny Rutino, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rutino. He joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on The Fan. What about Bryce Terang in the leadoff spot? I saw it yesterday when the lineup came out, and I was on the air, and I was like, I love this. This here is something I can get down with. I don't know if Pat Murphy will do it continuously going forward, but Terang's been one of your better hitters. He's a contact hitter. It makes all the sense in the world to me if they leave him there.
I love it. I do love it. It's very hard to say that a second-year player who struggled mightily last year, like this was one of the worst offensive producers in all of baseball, Bryce Terang. He really was. He was in the top five or the bottom five of the entire league of guys that had over 400 at-bats. And then for him to come out and do what he's been doing this year, he's made some adjustments to the swing. And it's a second-year guy establishing himself in the big leagues, and he is a leader of your team at 24 years old. He's one of these leaders. He really is. He has that presence about him. I'm around him in the clubhouse when I'm on the games in the booth. I'm around him in the dugout. He is very, very focused and is very focused on winning and very focused on continuing what he is doing all season long for the rest of the year. And so to have him in that leadoff spot to set the table, to be that tone setter for the offense, I absolutely love it. Three doubles yesterday. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong with the production, clearly. So let's see if he can continue it against the Cardinals. I definitely see him being in that leadoff spot being a very, very good move for the Brewers going forward.
We have talked a bunch over the years about how seemingly the Brewers can take about any pitcher and make them at least respectable, regardless of what they were doing at their previous stop in the big leagues. And sometimes they can take them even past that to making them really good based on what they do with their pitching lab and whatever else they got going on over there. But the one thing that maybe doesn't get talked about enough is the work they do with catchers. And the work that Charlie Green has been doing has been unbelievable. I mean, you can go back two or three catchers and talk about some of the work he's done. But William Contreras, you get him in that deal, and it was like, defensively he's not that great. Pitch framing isn't the best. You know, he's down at the bottom and so forth. And then on top of that, now he explodes with his bat this year. I mean, you're talking about a guy, depending on where this team finishes, I mean, he's definitely an all-star, and if this team wins the division, he might be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, he's gonna definitely get a lot of MVP votes this year, especially if he continues what he's doing. And really, he's got an approach that's sustainable just because of the fact there's really no holes in his bat. There's no holes in the zone where you can really attack him. If you do try to exploit an area where he is struggling, he will make the adjustment and then start hitting the ball in that area that pitchers are going to start attacking. He's extremely intelligent. He's got just an off-the-charts baseball IQ. And then he wants to be great. And that's the missing piece that a lot of really, really good players don't necessarily have. He is a tireless worker. They even have to Walker McKibben, and he is responsible for a lot of the credit too defensively. Is Walker McKibben, Charlie Green, Nestor Cordero. It's a team that's been working with the catching group. Walker was saying how they have to pull him back at times from working too hard, and so that's the kind of guy he is, and he's just going to continue to get better. He's still he's still scratching the surface as to how good he can be. Just still a young player. The second full season in the big leagues is this year. Second full season catching. Even in the minor leagues, he was a part-time catcher because they didn't think that the glove was going to come along. So he's scratching the surface. What an acquisition when they got him for Esteori Ruiz, and they had Yoel Piamp throwing that deal as well. Kind of a fleecing right there from the Oakland A's.
And go to the other side of it and talk about some of the pitching that they've gotten. Colin Ray is a guy that I don't think anybody saw being as good as what he ended up being last year for the Brewers to a certain degree, and how he started off this year. But the other guy is Bryce Wilson. You got Bryce Wilson for cash money last January. Cash money, not a player. Cash, which means they just wanted him gone. Like, they had no interest. Give us some money and we'll call it even. And now all of a sudden, not only was he a good reliever for him, now it looks like he might be a long-term answer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this rotation.
Yeah, it does look like an answer in the rotation. It's the biggest question of the season after, you know, losing and trading away Corbin Burns and then losing Brandon Woodruff to injury and then re-signing him for next year. The biggest question was, where are they going to get starting pitching innings? And now all of a sudden Bryce Wilson emerges, steps up. He wasn't even in the rotation to start the season, but because of so many injuries, so many guys, you know, in a DL Hall injury as well, and poor performance. Now he steps up, and he is one of the guys that is going to be a mid-rotation starter for the Brewers for the rest of the year. That's my call. I mean, I don't see him really getting out of the rotation, stepping out of the rotation based on how he has been performing these last three starts. And now all of a sudden his pitch count is climbing. He's a very durable guy. Even when the pitch count is up, he's still 94, 96 miles per hour. We saw him with Pittsburgh, and the velo wasn't this good, 90, 92, and I think that that's the product of Chris Hook helping him sync up that delivery. He's very athletic. He's an athletic guy, as big as he is. You see that his brother got drafted in the top three rounds in the NFL. He's got that kind of athleticism and that kind of, you know, that's the pedigree from that family. You see how athletic he is despite being such a big guy, but that helps his durability, right? So, big, strong guy, able to hold that velo up 94, 95. He made some adjustments with that delivery, and I see this continuing for Bryce Wilson. It's a really good piece for the Brewers to have into the rotation, just because there are question marks as to where they are going to find innings for the rest of the year, really.
He is Vinny Rutino, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM, The Fan. I want to talk about the aggressive base running of the Brewers under Pat Murphy. Yo, Churio. Gets called out the other night on a double steal. He was safe, clearly. But fans were upset that Murphy sent him in that situation to begin with. You've got guys getting thrown out at home as well. And fans aren't too happy about it. And my point is, I like the aggressiveness. You've got the speed. You've got the athletes to do it. You don't have necessarily a ton of power in this lineup. And if you want to keep pressure on the opposing pitchers, it's the best way to do it. I love what Pat Murphy is doing. What about you?
I do. I think the more pressure they can put on opposing pitching staff, the better. Now, it's not going to work out. So when it doesn't work out, like when Churio got thrown out, although he was safe.
Yes.
Right? So when he does get thrown out, then what happens is that actually takes the pressure off the opposing pitcher. So it is a risk. So I definitely like the approach, just because there's so many young guys, and that's how these young kids are going to learn. Where can I take these shots? Where can I kind of extend the risk a little bit and take a shot on the bases or try and steal third in a situation late in the ballgame? Because if you learn it now, this team and these young players will actually, yes, they're going to continue to develop over the years, but they'll develop and learn from it, and this is going to help them in the second half this season. You see that a lot with a lot of young groups, a lot of young position player groups especially, where they start to learn as a group and learn how to win, take some lumps along the way early on in the season, and then all of a sudden the second half of the season, when it matters most, doesn't really matter how you play early in the season. It matters how you play late in the season, especially if they can get into a playoff spot and then play well at the end with this young group. They could, you know, you really never know once you get into the tournament. You've seen that the last couple of years. Last year with the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think I like the approach. Young guys, take some shots, learn from them, and then you get better along the way.
I got one more for you. And this has to do with referees and umpires in sports.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle just came out last night after the Pacers-Knicks game and said, just because we're a small market doesn't mean that we shouldn't get calls too and so forth. And I'm going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. But then you have the Guccione thing with Pat Murphy. And, you know, again, John Boy did a great job trying to lip reading there. And Murph kind of really got after him, obviously. But then you guys are on the air, you and Levering, and on that Cheerio call, you're like, and the instant replay referees are blah, blah, Chris Guccione. And I went, and they're not winning this challenge. It's over. And obviously they did it. And then you have the double play call later, and that they didn't win that one either. And we came on the air, and we were like, there's no way they were doing that. And what people don't understand is referees are human too. You can hurt referees' feelings or umpires' feelings and so forth. And sometimes they hold grudges. As human beings, we're not supposed to. I'm the king of holding a grudge. So I know how that works. But having said that, you as a player, having been through this, in your career coming all the way up from your time at St. Cat's here locally, all the way up through college and the pros, I would imagine there were probably at points umpires and so forth that you knew that were harder to deal with than others, or you had run-ins with in the past that weren't going to deal with you as well, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no, they are human. I think that situation with Chris Guccione and Pat Murphy, that looked like, and I don't know exactly what was being said, but it looked like it was getting personal.
Yes.
And so anytime that happens between an umpire and a manager, they will hold grudges just in terms of a personal grudge. Now, if that leaks over into the professional side of things where they need to do their job and get the calls right, now that's a problem. Now, there's all kinds of personal vendettas and grudges that are being held on a baseball field between managers and umpires. But they're usually able to kind of squash those or put those to the side and just get the call right. Because essentially, at the end of the day, that's what they're being paid for and being judged on. Because those umpires need to and want to be able to ump in the postseason. And they're actually graded and ranked. And then if they're at the top of the ranks, then they get the ump in the postseason. They make more money, actually. So hopefully that they are incentivized by that and don't hold grudges and then get calls wrong because of some personal grudge. Now, I don't know the situation with Chris Guccione. That was just I don't know. I'd like to think that he would be professional, but, yeah, I'm with you. I think there was no shot that they were going to get that call right at third base because Chris Guccione and company – was in New York in the replay in the review room. So, but yeah, that was and then this other thing here too. I actually think that drama and that controversy that's going on, I actually think it's good for the game. I like the fact that umpires and managers are face to face screaming at each other because you know what, that's good TV and it's good entertainment for us. Now, if it spills over and gets too personal, then that's a problem. But you know, it has us talking, right?
I have a follow-up just because I don't know the answer. Does Murphy know who the instant replay umps are before a game starts?
I think he could ask because we knew.
Because if he knew, why would he even bother wasting his time?
That's a good point. Again, hopefully he's not holding personal vendettas in New York and they are getting the calls right. I don't know. The problem I have with that particular call is I think, like, the common sense said he wasn't tagged. And so they called let the play stand because that was the call on the field by our good friend Angel Hernandez called
the best
when he should have been the best in the game. So what they should have done, what I hope they're able to do at some point is like, okay, we don't have definitive evidence, but I'm not like 90% sure he didn't tag him right there. I wish they could use some subjectivity to the call and don't need definitive evidence and proof in a replay, because you are slowing it down and there's subjectivity called and judgments being made, you know,
in this rotation.
Yeah, it does look like an answer in the rotation. It's the biggest question of the season after, you know, losing and trading away Corbin Burns and then losing Brandon Woodruff to injury and then re-signing him for next year. The biggest question was, where are they going to get starting pitching innings? And now all of a sudden Bryce Wilson emerges, steps up. He wasn't even in the rotation to start the season, but because of so many injuries, so many guys, you know, in a DL Hall injury as well, and poor performance. Now he steps up, and he is one of the guys that is going to be a mid-rotation starter for the Brewers for the rest of the year. That's my call. I mean, I don't see him really getting out of the rotation, stepping out of the rotation based on how he has been performing these last three starts, and now all of a sudden his pitch count is climbing. He's a very durable guy. Even when the pitch count is up, he's still 94, 96 miles per hour. We saw him with Pittsburgh, and the velo wasn't this good, 90, 92, and I think that that's a product of Chris Hook helping him sync up that delivery. He's very athletic. He's an athletic guy. As big as he is, you see that his brother got drafted in the top three rounds in the NFL. He's got that kind of athleticism and that kind of, you know, that's the pedigree from that family. You see how athletic he is despite being such a big guy, but that helps his durability, right? So, big, strong guy, able to hold that velo up 94, 95. He made some adjustments with that delivery, and I see this continuing for Bryce Wilson. It's a really good piece for the Brewers to have into the rotation, just because there are question marks as to where they are going to find innings for the rest of the year, really.
He is Vinny Rutino, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM, The Fan. I want to talk about the aggressive base running of the Brewers under Pat Murphy. Yo, Churio, gets called out the other night on a double steal. He was safe, clearly. But fans were upset that Murphy sent him in that situation to begin with. You've got guys getting thrown out at home as well. And fans aren't too happy about it. And my point is, I like the aggressiveness. You've got the speed. You've got the athletes to do it. You don't have necessarily a ton of power in this lineup. And if you want to keep pressure on the opposing pitchers, it's the best way to do it. I love what Pat Murphy is doing. What about you?
I do. I think the more pressure they can put on opposing pitching staff, the better. Now, it's not going to work out. So when it doesn't work out, like when Churio got thrown out, although he was safe.
Yes.
Right? So when he does get thrown out, then what happens is that actually takes the pressure off the opposing pitcher. So it is a risk. So I definitely like the approach, just because there's so many young guys, and that's how these young kids are going to learn. Where can I take these shots? Where can I kind of extend the risk a little bit and take a shot on the bases or try and steal third in a situation late in the ballgame? Because if you learn it now, this team and these young players, well, actually, yes, they're going to continue to develop over the years, but they'll develop and learn from it, and this is going to help them in the second half this season. You see that a lot with a lot of young groups, a lot of young position player groups especially, where they start to learn as a group and learn how to win, take some lumps along the way early on in the season, and then all of a sudden the second half of the season, when it matters most, doesn't really matter how you play early in the season. It matters how you play late in the season, especially if they can get into a playoff spot and then play well at the end with this young group. They could, you know, you really never know once you get into the tournament. You've seen that the last couple of years. Last year with the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think I like the approach. Young guys, take some shots, learn from them, and then you get better along the way.
I got one more for you. And this has to do with referees and umpires in sports.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle just came out last night after the Pacers-Knicks game and said, just because we're a small market doesn't mean that we shouldn't get calls too and so forth. And I'm going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. But then you have the Guccione thing with Pat Murphy. And, you know, again, John Boy did a great job trying to lip reading there. And Murph kind of really got after him, obviously. But then you guys are on the air, you and Levering, and on that Churio call, you're like, and the instant replay referees are blah, blah, Chris Guccione. And I went, and they're not winning this challenge. It's over. And obviously they didn't. And then you have the double play call later, and that they didn't win that one either. And we came on the air, and we were like, there's no way they were doing that. And what people don't understand is referees are human too. You can hurt referees' feelings or umpires' feelings and so forth. And sometimes they hold grudges. As human beings, we're not supposed to. I'm the king of holding a grudge. So I know how that works. But having said that, you as a player, having been through this in your career, coming all the way up from your time at St. Cat's here locally, all the way up through college and the pros, I would imagine there were probably at points umpires and so forth that you knew that were harder to deal with than others, or you had run-ins with in the past that weren't going to deal with you as well, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no, they are human. I think that that situation with Chris Guccione and Pat Murphy, that looked like, and I don't know exactly what was being said, but it looked like it was getting personal.
Yes.
And so anytime that that happens between an umpire and a manager, they will hold grudges, just in terms of a personal grudge. Now, if that leaks over into the professional side of things where they need to do their job and get the calls right, now that's a problem. Now, there's all kinds of personal vendettas and grudges that are being held on a baseball field between managers and umpires, but they're usually able to kind of squash those or put those to the side and just get the call right, because essentially, at the end of the day, that's what they're being paid for and being judged on, because those umpires need to and want to be able to ump in the postseason, and they're actually graded and ranked, and then if they're at the top of the ranks, then they get to ump in the postseason. They make more money, actually. So hopefully that they are incentivized by that and don't hold grudges and then get calls wrong because of some personal grudge. Now, I don't know the situation with Chris Guccione. That was just I don't know. I'd like to think that he would be professional, but yeah, I'm with you. I think there was no shot that they were going to get that call right at third base because Chris Guccione and company was in New York in the replay in the review room. So, but yeah, that was and then other thing here too. I actually think that drama and that controversy that's going on, I actually think it's good for the game. I like the fact that umpires and managers are face-to-face screaming at each other, because you know what? That's good TV and it's good entertainment for us. Now, if it spills over and gets too personal, then that's a problem. But, you know, it has us talking, right?
I have a follow-up just because I don't know the answer. Does Murphy know who the instant replay umps are before a game starts?
I think he could ask. Because we knew.
Because if he knew, why would he even bother wasting his time?
That's true. That's a good point. Again, hopefully he's not holding personal vendettas in New York, and they are getting the calls right. I don't know. The problem I have with that particular call is I think, like, the common sense that he wasn't tagged. And so they called let the play stand, because that was the call on the field by our good friend Angel Hernandez. Called
the best.
When he should have been the best in the game. So what they should have done, what I hope they're able to do at some point is like, okay, we don't have definitive evidence, but I'm not like 90% sure he didn't tag him right there. I wish they could use some subjectivity to the call and don't need definitive evidence and proof in a replay, because you are slowing it down and there's subjectivity called and judgments being made, if you're blocked from a play in real time. So why not, if you're blocked from a play, an instant replay, go ahead. I don't see a tag there. I'm going to go ahead and call him safe. I'm 90% sure he didn't tag him. But they can't do it that way. I wish they would kind of tweak that rule a little bit. We have replay, and sometimes it's like, why do we even have it, you know, if they can't even get the camera angle? So, you know, I just wish they would kind of tweak that a little bit.
How are you enjoying being a scouting director over at Prep Baseball Report?
I love it. It's great. There's a lot of talent in Wisconsin. I love it. It's hard to juggle everything, but in the broadcast booth and everything, but we got a good team to help me out.
Follow him on Twitter. He's awesome. At Vinny Rutino, the way to do it. Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. And like I said, PBR Wisconsin scouting director as well. Again, at Vinny Rutino. Vinny, thanks so much for coming on, man. Look forward to doing it again.
Yep, anytime. Thanks.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Vinny Rutino.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.